Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle, a trademark title for the Nintendo Switch, is a madcap marriage between two of gaming's most successful franchises. On one hand you have Mario, Shigeru Miyamoto's crowning jewel and king of the platformers. On the other, Ubisoft's Raving Rabbids complete the picture, the breakout stars of a Rayman spin-off who have dominated the party genre for a decade. When Davide Soliani and his team brought the two together in 2017, the results took the form of turn-based tactics. Of course, Mario's done just about everything, but even considering the Paper series and Super Mario RPG, Kingdom Battle takes its characters in a new direction. As an important release for the Nintendo Switch, Mario and Rabbids needed strength in all departments. Fortunately, Davide Soliani is a longtime fan of Grant Kirkhope. Ever humble, yet gigantically talented, Grant jumped at the chance to write music for what is, essentially, a Mario game. With a genuine orchestra at his disposal for a huge chunk of the OST, the project is a giant leap from his earliest work on the Game Boy, showing just how majestic VGM can be. I'm Lee Tyrrell, and this is The Sound Test, where I look in-depth into video game audio and music, along with the very people who crafted it. To conclude this first series, I'm joined for the fourth and final time by Grant Kirkhope. Even after his prestigious list of credits, Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle represented a significant challenge. On the Mario side alone, Koji Kondo has repeatedly cemented his legacy with instantly memorable melodies for main series titles. No one took that prestige more seriously than Grant, who was well aware of the high expectations involved.
I was very conscious at the start, you know, because there's no point in me trying to emulate Nintendo too much because I just can't do it. Like, you know, that kind of poppy jazzy style they write is absolutely fantastic and I couldn't do it if I tried. There's no point in me even trying to do that. It would be awful. Everyone would hate it. I didn't want to be known as a composer that breaks Mario, right? I didn't want to be that guy. And, you know, my kids would never speak to me again. Not that they speak to me that much in the first place, of course, you know, but even less. So, you know, I had to find that path through the middle somewhere where I could kind of get it all stuck together somehow, and I kind of feel I did it. But, you know, you never know until it's out there, right? You never know until it's actually out there and people are talking about it, so you just have to cross your fingers.
Despite all of the existing music he could have drawn on, Grant wrote almost exclusively new pieces. There are only a couple of exceptions, like a rearrangement of Mario 64's castle theme, since Grant's skills would be criminally underused otherwise. Critically, Kingdom Battle gives equal time to the titular Rabbids, so Grant couldn't rely on simply referencing the best of the Mushroom Kingdom either. He would have to incorporate elements of both Nintendo and Ubisoft into his soundtrack, all the while staying true to his personal instincts.
For me, like, you know, obviously the Nintendo part is using some of their tunes, so the DK bit and the Mario Castle from the 64 game, you know, in there. And I kind of felt the Ancient Garden, the start of the game, I felt that sounded like Nintendo-esque to me. Not their kind of jazzy poppy style, but that kind of light, I guess maybe Mario Galaxy slightly, you know, it's not quite that, but I was kind of thinking I need to, because at the time I thought it was going to be light all the way through, so I did that. The Ubisoft part, I kind of feel Ubisoft have got, like, you know, the main Rayman theme is great, right? It feels to me a bit like, get a bit that kind of Banjo-Kazooie quirkiness, even though no, it's not, but that's the way it feels to me. So I tried to include a bit of that in the game, you know, and I feel like the kind of, the mid-boss Piranha battle thing that was a kind of banjo tune. I kind of feel that was that stuck all together for me. That was me in there doing the bit of banjo and a bit of the kind of Rayman stuff stuck in there.
Grant's sound, meshed with Mario and Ubisoft, is perfectly suited to Kingdom Battle's orchestra. In the 21st century, most of the limits that once faced VGM composers have been removed. Now, musicians have practically infinite choice, allowing for sophisticated scores complete with real instrumentation. Something like Mario and Rabbids would have been unthinkable in the days of chiptune, but as soon as technology allowed, video games became the latest arena for classic orchestral expression.
The orchestra hasn't changed for hundreds of years, right? I kind of feel that soundtrack fads come and go. Like, it's big on synth right now. You know, it'll change eventually. But I kind of feel orchestra is a one constant. It seems to be, you know, certain kinds of entertainment always require full orchestra. Like, you know, you're not going to watch a Lord of the Rings tune that's movie that's got a synth background. It's not going to work, right? You know, you're not going to watch Harry Potter with a synth background. You go to see an Avengers movie, it's still big orchestra. You go to see it, and you know, it's still, I kind of feel that's still the kind of, that's the water table, that's the mainstay that always stays there, and everything else changes around it, but that stays the same.
Historically, Grant's music has made heavy use of MIDI out of pure necessity. MIDI can do incredible things, and I have no interest in devaluing synthesis, but orchestras represent a totally different way of doing things. Following years behind keyboards and computers, how does Grant feel about the opportunity to work with human players instead?
It's just the best, you know. The first time I did orchestra was when we did Viva Pinata, and I was in tears most of the time, you know, because it's incredible. There's nothing better than doing live orchestra. As a composer, it just is the best thing ever. You know, those few days you spend with people like that is incredible, and I don't think there's ever anything going to be better than that. I think, you know, if you write a great like electronic soundtrack, great. I just haven't been asked to do a lot of that. I seem to get asked to do the orchestral stuff most of the time.
When given a job like Mario and Rabbids, and tools like an orchestra, it'd be tough to not be inspired. In the hands of an established master like Grant, the sound is used to full effect. The extra depth that comes with acoustic strings, brass, woodwind, and percussion is audible straight away from pieces like Mid-Boss Mayhem. Following release, and judging by YouTube comments, Mid-Boss Mayhem soon flew to the top of Kirkhope fans' favourite tracks. It shows how well-suited Grant's legendary melodies are to a traditional setting, and feels deliberately familiar to something N64 players probably recognise.
Davide Soliani, who's the creative director of, you know, Ubisoft Milan, who's the guy, the head of the game, he was a massive Banjo-Kazooie fan, obviously. So I wrote that tune going, right, this is going to be the most banjo-sounding tune in Mario. So I guess that's what I was thinking, because I knew he wanted to get one in there somewhere. So I kind of felt that it might kind of, if you like, my signature sound, if I've got one, I guess that's what it was. So you got the marimba there playing the good old tune, you know, a bit banjo-esque. So that's why that one worked out the way it did. I feel like I hold back a little bit on mid-boss tunes. I don't really go for it. So when you come to the, you know, the DK boss or the Ice Golem boss, I feel they're much bigger pieces of the music. So that's the way I do it. I just kind of hold back a little bit. I don't go the full bore on the mid-boss stuff. And also in Mario, there was always battles that went on before you got to the boss. So I just had to hold back a little bit. Even though Davide's going, bigger, bigger, you know, go for it. I had to kind of hold back a little bit because you've got to save something, right? It's a bit like playing in a metal band and having the drummer play twin kick drums for the entire song. You know, you need to pick your moment to make it sound really great, then cut it out. You know, so for that thing, it's just the same thing. You've got to learn to pull it back a little bit and still keep the intensity there. This dog goes mad. I guess that's the way I look at it, really.
The distinction between a sub-boss and a main area boss is an interesting one. Music can sum up how sub-bosses should work too, by being more dramatic and rushed than a standard theme, but not quite as bombastic as the final baddies. Mid-boss Mayhem is a shining example of Kingdom Battle's orchestral strength, but not every track utilises fully authentic instrumentation. Indeed, the complete soundtrack comes in at around 2 hours, which would be costly and time-consuming to achieve with an orchestra alone. How much does MIDI, Grant's old friend since the N64, crop up in Mario & Rabbids?
It's sort of maybe, it's like maybe 45 minutes live orchestra, the rest is like my MIDI samples, you know, playing. You know, so you have to massage that kind of MIDI mock-up a lot to make it sound vaguely human. And when you get real human people playing music, there's this natural thing to do, like a natural crescendo, a natural diminuendo. They just do, by the way they play it, it just sounds like a human being, because it is one, you know.
It's clear when the unbridled power of acoustic orchestra is at play in Kingdom Battle. But Grant does such a good job with his MIDI that unfocused ears aren't likely to notice the difference. However, there are certain things that MIDI simply can't do. Recreating a sung human voice outside of a few select syllables is musically impossible, and the Phantom, a boss with a theatrical streak, needed the full boom of opera.
A thousand wrongs ever since Donkey Kong, smithering down every pipe, despite his plum-shaped body type.
All his career, he said he's always wanted to have an opera boss, and he said the first chance he got the money to do it, he was doing it, so that's why it turned up in Mario. The original plan was to have like an opera, there was like going to be three songs, right, preceding three battles. And the first song was going to be opera, second song was going to be metal, and the third song was going to be rap. So I did mock up like a metal version and a rap version, which no one's heard. Davide's got them tucked away somewhere for bribery value later, I'm sure. Yeah, but it was just how it didn't work. And in the end, we ran out of time, so we only managed to get two songs in. I think on the soundtrack, there might be the other song. I can't remember. So we did actually physically have three songs, but only two made it into the game.
Who do you think you are? You should kneel. I'm the star. You are nothing but a parody. I find your good role in a tragedy. It's me, let's go, the only word you know.
The actual voice of the Phantom is performed by Augustin Chamel, who sings lyrics by Christina Narva to a Kirkhope melody. It all culminates in a highly original section and a true highlight of the score. Yet, Grant didn't have Augustin sat next to him as he wrote, helping to test out inflections and timings. During the production process, how did Grant compensate in order to explore his ideas?
They gave me the lyrics. Christina Narva, who's the designer at Ubisoft Milan, she did the lyrics, and she sent them to me, and I just kind of put them to a tune, and I just, you know, did the orchestra and mocked it up, and off it went. And I had to sing it, of course, and to the new how it was going to go. So there's recordings of me singing those songs somewhere yet again. So yeah, and then it went to the opera singing. It was amazing. So you know, that was spectacular to do that. Like, it was great fun, and then it turned out great. And opera boss is a great boss. You know, the Phantom, he's brilliant. So I think it, you know, it worked out perfectly. I think Davide was like, it was his dream to do it, so he finally got to do it.
In the grand scheme of Kingdom Battle, the Phantom's mocking operas, or boiperas, are part of an audible growth. Beginning with major key joviality, Mario and Rabbids sounds deceptively light at first. As players approach its end, the tunes are noticeably more menacing, especially for battles with Bowser. This aspect of the soundtrack took Grant by surprise most of all, as he found himself having to adjust to the gradual change in tone.
You know, and the game has a real transition. It starts off pretty jolly and ends up pretty dark. So when I first started, I had no idea the game was going to end up the way it did. They never told me that. So I was thinking, oh, this would be a jolly game all the way through. So I was writing kind of quite jolly, light music. It just kept getting darker and darker, and David's like, yes, darker, Lord of the Rings, you know, like at the end of it all, I was like, oh, I wish you'd told me that at the start, because I probably would have adjusted the sound of the earlier tracks to match the later tracks, certainly sonically. I think the game ended up not where I thought it was going to be. I kind of thought it would just be a jolly along, but it wasn't that at all. It, you know, ends up pretty dark, and all the lava level and the forge and stuff.
Besides instrumentation, Grant's soundtrack for Kingdom Battle is a varied affair. It sails from mood to mood in sync with the game's surroundings, and, even during fights with Bowser himself, never falls into retreading old tropes. One of the very few exceptions, as previously mentioned in this podcast, is a new version of Peach's Castle, an iconic theme from Super Mario 64. Why was this piece picked in particular? And how did it feel to work with the beloved music of Koji Kondo, Mario's best-known composer?
Davide was keen to use that, and I love Super Mario 64. Has got, you know, big memories for me, because I remember when the N64 first came out, we all got the console, we all bought that game, we all played it. You know, it was like a real revelation. That was, you know, it was amazing, that game. And that made Banjo the game it was. We were trying to beat Mario, you know. And I love that main castle theme from that game. It's just so good. And when Davide suggested it, I was like, fantastic, can't wait to get my hands on that, you know. So, but I had to work it into my own stuff. I had to kind of think, how am I going to work it together? So I cut it into pieces. Like, I kept the first bit. Had a bit of me, bit of him, bit of me, bit of him, you know. So, I just hoped that they liked it. So, because I had to go to Koji Kondo and Nintendo to say whether they liked it or not, and we had to wait a little while because they're a bit slow at Nintendo. So, you know, it just worked out fantastically well, and it was I loved doing it. It was, and I couldn't believe my son was walking past my room saying, you know, Dad, can you believe you're writing that bloody music? Can you believe it? That you know, I couldn't believe it. It was just amazing.
When it comes to VGM, not many approach Grant's league, but even at his level, there's something surreal about writing for Mario. He's the poster boy for gaming in general, and the overworld theme from Super Mario Bros. Is as legendary as it gets. Having said that, titles like Banjo-Kazooie, composed by Grant, are often name-dropped in the same breath when VGM comes up. As such, his existing catalogue was a natural reference for Kingdom Battle, right next to the respective worlds of Mario and the Rabbids themselves.
I certainly snuck in a little bit of Freezeezy Peaks. That's in the Sherbet Desert somewhere. It starts off da 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 da. which is a direct, which is like a bit of a reference to the part of the music in Three Easy Peaks. It's not a direct quote, but it implies it. And Davidoff was like, "Can we do it?" I said, "Of course I can." It's not the exact quote, but it just kind of sounds a bit like it. So, you know, I guess it's all over the place. But you know, I was conscious. I didn't want it to be just Banjo-Kazooie. I didn't want that. I mean, people still say it sounds like me, and I guess I've got a certain sound. I do sound a certain way. I didn't want it to be a Banjo-Kazooie thing. It had to be its own thing. So it's nice to have a bit of a laugh and have a bit of reference here and there, and you know, Davide and the guys over there thought it was funny, but it couldn't be too much of that. It needed to be its own thing.
Though appropriate for both Mario and the Raving Rabbids, Grant's soundtrack succeeded in establishing his own personality. It shines with Grant's melodic mastery, unfolding beneath epic fights into a rich suite of VGM at its very best. Its use of MIDI is so well done that its synthesized tracks sit comfortably next to the accomplished humanity of a full orchestra. Much VGM takes advantage of brand new synth sounds and beat programming, but Grant has always favoured the strength of an actual tune. That's given him a passionate fandom over the years, all of whom had their childhoods defined by the music of their games. Because of Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, a new generation sits on the brink of Kirkhope obsession and the reams of strong melodies that follow.
You know, people constantly look for new sounds and stuff, and I guess I'm not really like that. Like, I still believe in good old-fashioned tunes and orchestra and that stuff, you know, and like, that's my mantra, right? And I don't think you have to have lots of wackiness going on, or like, you know, weird new sounds. I mean, they fit some stuff, but I just look for that all the time. And I think that, I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel. I just feel like a good tune's a good tune, right, no matter what happens to it.
Thanks to Grant for speaking to me for the sound test, but thank you too for taking the time to listen. To those who have checked out the full series, I'm especially grateful. Unfortunately, this has been the final episode in the series until I return with more next year. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please make sure to subscribe or follow on whatever platform you might be listening on. That way, you won't miss any of my future output or interviews. It's been an honour to put this series together and converse with so many talented composers. I hope VGM only gets more recognised as the true force it is, and that this podcast does something to help. There's a huge community of love for this music, and I look forward to sharing more insight with you in 2019. In the meantime, you can catch me streaming on Twitch and performing some test runs of a planned live VGM radio show. There may be some surprise interviews along the way, so don't forget to check the description for all the links you need to stay up to date. To support me, my work, and the future of the sound test, head on over to patreon.com/_secretcave. I'll do all I can to reward your support with early access and exclusive items, but in any event, thank you once again for listening, and don't hesitate to contact me through social media to suggest your picks for second series guests.